Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Welcome in, everybody. Good Monday morning to you, as it is a numbers game with our guy Kelly Bidlin, as always, holding down the fort in downtown Las Vegas at our Circuit Sportsbook Studios. I'm Ben Wilson in for Gil, who's out this week. But Kelly, it is great to be back with you, sir. And we have just a couple of things to talk about. I heard it was quite the interesting weekend.
Yeah, man.
Sports world, wasn't it?
Absolutely. It's great to be back with you. I was trying to remember driving in today when the last time you and I have done a show together. It's been like a whole 5 or 6 months now. It's crazy. It's like the longest it's been.
I know. Last time I saw you, you were deep into the punch bowl at a Halloween party. That's basically where we were
that's
at.
Right.
I'm sure there were a lot of people that felt punch drunk yesterday, though. I mean, I don't know how your day went, at least for me. Got some good fortune with a couple favorites who were in danger and pulled it out, at least Minnesota and Miami. Minnesota, it wasn't all that close in the end. Miami, it certainly was, as we'll get to all the games that happened in week 14. You want to start, though, with a little Circus Survivor talk today, Kelly?
Yeah,
because
let's do it.
Kind of felt like, and this again, we will normally on Mondays, we have the guessing line show with Gil. We will do sort of our mini version of that. We will talk about all the games that did happen and thoughts as it leads into look headlines here for week 15. But we also need to get to the college football playoff, because that was kind of a big deal that happened yesterday with bracket reveal, opening lines, futures now out. And we will be joined by Stormy Bonantoni, our fellow host, ESPN reporter, coming up this hour. And Chris Felica, known as the Bear, from Fox Big Noon Kickoff, in our second hour of the show. So we'll have plenty of college football talk to get to. Just the quick update, though, as far as Circus Survivor goes, 50 different individuals across 52 entries coming into yesterday. So much potential carnage, Kelly. You think about it. Philadelphia could have potentially gone down. And yet, at the end of the day, despite all these favorites who were at one point in some trouble, it was only one single entry on the Tennessee Titans who go down. And you can't help but feel for the individual who had his or her survivor journey come to an end this late against the awful Jacksonville Jaguars. But now we're down to 49 entries across, or 49 individuals across the 51 entries here, Kelly. Titans the only one that went out. And there was a point yesterday where you're like, Eagles, Dolphins, Saints, even the Bucks were not out of the water. 4-point game in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Steelers were in a tight game early, and at the end of the day, only one goes out, and your intrinsic value nearing $275,000.
Yeah, not too many of those yesterday. Just easy skate to victory wins for those teams, like you said. I mean, if you were on the Eagles, you were sweating big time late into that game. And the Titans. Salute to whoever had the Titans. It ended up being one of my Circa Million selections too, Ben. But that was the grossest game on the board. You knew it ahead of time. It looked like it was going to be the grossest game all day. It pretty much was. And you lost. Sorry. That was you get this far in Survivor, sometimes you got to get involved in these games that you had no interest in getting involved in just a couple months back.
You know what I thought was fascinating more than anything? We will never criticize, especially at this stage of the year, right? You've done better than 99.5% of the entrants, so you can do whatever you want. But I thought it was interesting, of the two entries that had two left, we had two of those people. One of them split it up. One went one Pittsburgh, one Tampa. Both of those get through. The other went both entries on Miami, and you went from, there was a stretch, Kelly. I had Miami a money line parlay, laid the 5.5, had him in the contest. I thought all my bets were dead late third quarter. And that was a interesting strategy simply because you were in such a plus EV position. You obviously had, and that entry felt like I did, and I'm sure a lot of bettors did, like that was there was a lot of conviction behind Miami, at least winning the game outright. But man, you could have gone from one of the two people with just an awesome path and an awesome position to be in with 5 weeks left to all of a sudden completely out of the competition, and yet you're sucked back in from the depths of potentially being out. Miami somehow comes back to win. That to me was a huge swing as part of Survivor, since those two with two entries are still alive now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like you said, that was big. And yeah, Dolphins, I was right there with you, man. Moneyline parlays contest. I laid 6.5 early in the week, so that was a loser. But yeah, I don't know if we had really any business being into to the end like we were. Tip of the cap to Rodgers and the Jets. I was not expecting that type of effort from that team. I really thought we were going to see a Jets team kind of lay down and accept that their playoff fate was over with. And they put up a fight yesterday. Aaron Rodgers, best game of the year, 27 for 39, 339 yards and a touchdown. He looked pretty impressive. I was impressed. Jets just didn't go away easy in that one.
I mean, look, what a day for the New York teams, Kelly. The Jets and Giants, both with workmanlike covers for their respective bettors, and the Mets. So apparently win the Juan Soto sweepstakes. So, I mean, what a day for New York. Mets, by the way, now 8-1, third in the odds board, ahead of the Yankees at 9-1. So anyway, for the New York teams, it wasn't completely all disaster and everything like that. But we'll get to more of the NFL here in a little bit. All of our thoughts as we now have the week 15 lines that are out. We'll get to that here in a little bit, Kelly. But should, before we do anything else, just spend a few minutes here to open the show talking college football playoff now that the bracket is out. The big talk, at least in the betting space, as the week wore on last week, was a lot of these potential ARB opportunities. Could you play in nose on both SMU and Alabama, since they were priced at big plus money? SMU around plus 280, Bama 3-1. Could you do something with that? And hey, you know, at the end of the day, this ended up being a situation where the loss for SMU that most people thought would knock them out, because in large part because of how close it was, they end up getting in over Alabama as a result. So if you were brave enough and you went out on a limb and kind of went against what the committee was saying, kind of a la like a political sort of campaign, Kelly, where you just did not take what the committee was saying at face value, you got there with Alabama tickets. But I know there were a lot of folks out there who had SMU to miss, and it was the worst possible result that would happen for them, which was close loss. They end up getting in over Alabama. Tide get knocked out.
Yeah, I knew a couple people. Gil had one too. I know, just a longer shot taken on Alabama. Just a lot of us, and I'll include myself, believing that there was no way they were going to be kept out. But I mean, I guess that's a good thing, Ben, with the way they had set up what the rankings were a week ago, right? At least you kind of followed suit with how that played out with how you had set up things last week. I don't know. This does, you know, as a jaded Florida State grad, Ben, it does feel like this was some of the stuff at the back end of these rankings were a bit of a makeup from what happened last year. And let's make sure we get some teams in. We don't care if we leave out some of the bigger name programs from the SEC. That's kind of what it felt like to me. But hey, we've got 12 teams. It's going to be exciting to get this going just here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, my biggest takeaway, especially from on the betting angle, and I think a lot of what folks are looking into over these last few weeks, were the futures and thinking about, okay, the way things were clearly lining up, the 5 seed was the seed to be in. And the two teams that everybody kind of thought would end up in the 5, either Penn State or Notre Dame, depending on the results, well, neither of those happened. And so you had, there was a lot of folks looking, say, you know, Notre Dame futures, who I, you know, just looking at my odds, how this fluctuated. Notre Dame was as short as 8-1 before last week. They don't even play. They do not get the 5 seed as you're watching the bracket. It's Notre Dame hosting Indiana. They slip now to 11-1. And then you get a team like Texas who loses in the SEC title game. By the way, if this game was it last year and it was a 4-team playoff, probably a win and in game for the Texas Georgia. And you'd have Texas not in the 4-team playoff. And yet, here they are, the co-short shot to win it all, despite being 4-1 last week. Now they're down to plus 350. So my thing is, if you're going to be betting these futures, we already saw how ridiculously convoluted and back and forth the seeding went by the committee. I don't know, you know, if it's not as obvious, and if it's a situation like this next year, where you have not one de facto obvious team to back and a path that is very, very murky, even if you are, say, a 1 seed like Oregon, I don't know why you'd be getting involved in the futures market as a result of that, even if you could potentially pick off some good numbers, because the bracket dictates so much of this from a game-to-game betting perspective.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. You're right. I mean, you're just looking. I mean, you don't have to know much about these teams to know that there's an easier path going to an Arizona State than going to a Georgia, right? That's going to be true pretty much in every single year that we talk about the college football playoffs. So it's a good point. I think, look, as we do new things in sports, whether it's the NBA Cup a year ago, whether it's this, you're going to learn some betting strategies throughout, as it might take a year or two, and it's always good to be ahead of those things. things if you can, but some of these things play out, like you said, and you kind of live and you learn. Any of these first round matchups stand out to you and some of the numbers that we're seeing on them? You got Indiana at Notre Dame. Notre Dame laying 7.5 and 50. These all from DraftKings here this morning. SMU at Penn State. Penn State laying 9.53.5 the total on that game. Tennessee at Ohio State. Ohio State laying 7.5, 47 the total. Clemson at Texas. Texas 11-point favorite, 51.5 the total on that game.
Yeah, the two that stood out to me, Clemson, Texas, that total open 53. I still see behind you, Kelly, 52 at Circa. That is one that under. A situation where neither offense has been particularly explosive, and we have seen just how dominant this Texas defense has been. I know everyone will be looking at all the failures and opportunities missed by Texas to put the game away against Georgia when they had the opportunity to do so, but this is still the number one defense in yard per play allowed, one of the best sack rates in the country, even though they don't blitz all that often, still a top six sack team, do so much well on the defensive end. I wonder if that kind of gets ignored because of the struggles of a Steve Sarkisian coach team in big games in the lead up to this. And I don't have much faith in Clemson being able to move the ball consistently. I do feel like the only way Clemson really hangs in there is with a defense that was conducive to giving up some explosive plays. And we saw that in the SMU game Saturday night. But from a play-to-play perspective, was still pretty solidly top 20 in the country. 52, that's a big number. I went first half under angle in the Georgia-Texas game, Kelly. I would not be opposed to doing that either. So that was the big one for me, and I don't think anybody would be shocked, would they, if Tennessee went into Columbus and won the game outright? I just worry that might be of these four that would probably be your candidate for like square dog that just a lot of people talk themselves into because of what we saw last with Ohio State. That's the only thing worrying me on that one. Right?
Well, Kelly and the Square Bears will agree with that because that was the first one that jumped out to me, Ben. I was like, 7.5? That feels pretty hefty with Ohio State. So, I might be looking at that side, too. No bets for me early. Did you bet that under
Clemson, Texas? I'm waiting here, but I with the 52s out there today, that will be a bet for me, yes. Clemson, Texas, under 52. Well, go ahead and lock.
Blake.
Boom. Let's do it. All right, we are underway here on a numbers game. And again, more to come on the college football playoff a little bit later with Stormy Bonantoni and Chris Felica. When we return, we'll start our dive into the Week 15 lines and look back at all the carnage that happened last week here on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This segment of A Numbers Game is brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches. There's only one number one draft pick. There's only one champion at the end of the season. And there's only one nicotine pouch brand in America that outsells the rest, and that is Zyn. Zyn is a smoke-free, spit-free, hassle-free nicotine pouch that can be enjoyed anywhere, anytime. Find your Zyn at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Those are the dulcet tones of Ryan Hunter welcoming us back here on A Numbers Game. And look who's here in studio.
Big
off
star.
Of just a wild, zany Sunday with the college football playoff being set. It's Stormy Bonantoni who's hanging out with forcing Kelly to move his double bunk bed setup over there, a la the Step Brothers.
I had so much room.
So much room for activities. Well, not anymore. Stormy is here. Host of Money Moves coming up right after us and the Pro Football Tailgate Show, ESPN sideline reporter. Stormy, how was the Sunday for you, the first time with this college football, the 12-team playoff? Like, what was that experience like with all the weirdness and chaos surrounding it as you were on the air as it played out?
Yeah, it was super fun to be on the air for it. I feel like typically we're in preview show mode, so we don't get a lot of live action. I always geek out when we have like the London games and we have live reacting to stuff, but obviously I'm such a college football person with what I do at ESPN, and it was super fun to see the unveiling as it came through, everybody sweating whether or not it's going to be SMU or Alabama in that moment. And I think that the committee did the right thing big picture for that decision and setting the right precedent that conference championships should not impact you negatively when if you hadn't played this game, you would have solidly been in the field. So I like what they did with SMU. I think that Alabama fans need to relax a little bit, and all of the talk about from this university side about how this is disincentivizing them to schedule hard non-conference teams, yada, yada, yada. But you didn't schedule hard non-conference teams, and you lost to two 6-6 teams in your own conference. So what are we talking about?
I want to ask you guys, but I agree, and I think that that's something that's been an issue with Alabama and some of the SEC teams for far too long. We'll see if they start doing some different scheduling. I want to ask both of you guys, though, this. Hey, you hit on something there, Stormy, which I'm very interested in. Is this more about setting a precedent for years to come, and do we think they're actually going to stick to that, or throw out all the rules that we think we know 3 years from now, and this was more important to get right in year one?
Well, I think that regardless, we're going to have a lot of change that comes just beginning next year with what this looks like, because already you have so many people that are upset for different reasons, where it's the conference champions getting the automatic buys to start things off. And why do you have a team in Boise State and Arizona State that are getting first round buys instead of the best teams that are in the field? And no shade to Boise State and ASU, no shade to SMU getting into this thing, right? And I am somebody who is such a proponent for the little guy. SEC, Big Ten, you guys have had this for years. Let us have our moment, okay? But I do think, as far as year one goes, yes, this was really important. And you know that the selection committee in general, they want to make money. They want to keep having these conference championship games. They don't want anybody thinking about opting out or forfeiting those games because they think it's going to negatively impact them. So at least for now, it's very important. Ben, I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I definitely felt like, as far as, you know, precedent, it's always going to be goalposts seem to move because that's how it always is. Sure. And it's not like they were going to sit there and go, oh, this is how the seeding is going to be. And more than anything, if you talk about precedent, I mean, the disaster would have been, like, let's say SMU, they don't make a comeback, they get blown out. I mean, it would have been way worse. Like, if Alabama gets in, you know, this 9-3 team that gets blown out at a bad Oklahoma team and still makes the playoff anyway, and then you have the committee sitting there and going, well, yeah, I mean, SMU, you know, technically, if because the argument before was like, well, let's maybe just say we all got COVID and not even play this game and just forfeit, because that would be better than potentially having to play. The can of worms that would have opened up would have been so negative and so detracting to the whole final stretch, the conference championship week, the whole into the playoff experience. Would have been really hard for them to kind of wrangle their way through that. I would think, guys, from the, you know, from the, you know, the public perception perspective, but they didn't do that, and they were fortunate, I would say, Stormy, because SMU makes this comeback and makes it close. But it's really just the seeding you have to get right. You can't just allow this team like a Texas, right, to luck box their way in, kind of back their way into the five seed. And as you've talked about already, as we've seen with the odds, you go from 4-1 and now your odds shorten. Your co-favorites plus 350 with a loss, and you get fortunate in sliding to the five seed. They clearly didn't want to or plan for that to happen, but now you're going to sit there as double-digit favorites your first two games, most likely.
Yeah, it's funny. And just one last thing on the SMU of it all is, how much, as an Alabama fan, were you just hoping, like, SMU, just do your job, right? just finish this thing.
Yes.
And then the whirlwind of emotions that you're probably having during that ACC championship game, you're like, okay, well, Clemson's going to blow them out now, so just make this a huge margin of victory, so it's no question SMU doesn't deserve to be in the field. Then they claw all the way back. You're like, okay, now just please win then. Just like come all the way back and finish the job. So just a crazy whirlwind of emotions there. But as far as the bracket lays out in general, there are a couple spots here that I think are really interesting, most notably that your top seed in Oregon actually has a pretty tough road compared to the team that lost to them in Penn State.
100%. And looking at some of these odds now, you know, the Texas this Texas spread, it's just funny. You look now at Texas laying 11 against Clemson. Clemson was 0-3 against top S&P plus top 20 teams, and most of two of the three games were complete blowouts. So you understand power rating wise why Texas is so high. I wonder, Stormy, on the SMU front, where they were the team most, you know, most heavily talked about in the lead up, especially the past week here with the 12 team playoff being set. They go to Penn State, who have just been horrendous in these big game scenarios under James Franklin. Happens again in the Big Ten title game over Oregon. Could not get a stop for a team that prides itself on defense. Market has gone up here on the Nittany Lions. It's out to 8.5, opened 8 in most places, and now we're seeing even DK up to 9 here. I can't help but wonder if SMU is the team that a lot of folks come in on and just sort of auto fade simply because the resume was so much weaker as far as these Power Four teams compared to the rest of the teams in the field here. How do you feel about how they are actually going to look as that team that could have been the most disrespected team and left out but maybe the market just continues to disrespect them, even though they actually got in the end of the day.
I mean, keep letting it grow, and then I'll come in on the other side, maybe here with SMU, because I don't necessarily think that they're this easy out that everyone is assuming them to be, and that Penn State is this massive step up in class like maybe some of these other teams would be. I have been someone who's been saying for a while about Penn State's defense that is so highly touted and how amazing they are, that they're a little bit fake. And you look at the offenses that they've played throughout the course of the year, then when they finally do play a good offense, and let's say USC, for example, they gave up 30 points in that spot. And then against Oregon in the Big Ten championship game, they get exposed. And I'm not saying that SMU is Oregon offensively, or that Kevin Jennings is Dylan Gabriel, but I don't think that it's just a game where Penn State's going to come in here and walk all over them either.
Sure. I completely understand. It leads me into thinking about these four spreads here. Stormy Bonantoni with us in studio talking college football playoff, the 12 teams that are out now, and the four games that we'll have December 20th and 21st, all line anywhere between 7.5 to 11. And I can't help but think, though, there's going to be so much underdog money coming in just in general with these kind of the sour disposition of where so many of these favorite teams are at, especially Penn State with what we saw last, Texas, Ohio State with what we saw last. And even Notre Dame, who was not all that tested down the home stretch of their season, the first team into that playoff of the four Stormy underdogs, which would surprise you the least were they to pull an outright upset?
That's a good question. Okay,
we'll borrow it from the Megapod, which you made your outstanding debut on a couple weeks ago. Which are the favorites most likely to lose outright? We'll just flip it around that way.
this is a tough question because I feel like these favorites are going to win. Like, just something in my soul and body and mind tells me that the favorites are going to win the games. Whether they cover the big spreads is another question. I'm kind of rooting. This is a terrible thing for me to say as somebody who grew up a Notre Dame fan. So God, Richard Bonantoni, forgive me for raising me the way you did. But I kind of want to root for Indiana here.
Wow.
I know it's terrible. But I mean, the big question for both of these teams throughout the course of the year is, you know, like, well, what have you done? You blew out all these teams, but who did you beat really?
Right.
And how good are you really? And I think that's going to be a fun test for both of these teams for us to see. And Notre Dame has had such an advantage of not having to play a conference championship game and being able to do what they do with their schedule as an independent. And I think that Indiana could be a fun team to root for in this spot. And they don't have to make a long road trip, you know, just go down the way.
That one's pretty quick. All right, fine. We got you for one more minute. This is pretty easy. Who's winning the whole thing? Now that we know who how the bracket's set up, the path these guys have to go, who's winning the whole thing, Stormy?
The teams that I think have the best position to do so are Oregon and Georgia. And it's such low-hanging fruit and it's so boring. But I've liked Oregon for weeks now. And as long as their defense doesn't play as bad as they did against Penn State, then I feel like they'll be in good shape. But I think Oregon is my pick to win it, and Georgia's my two. And the fact that they're the 1 and 2 seed just makes me want to throw up that I said that out loud. So I'm sorry, guys. I'm so sorry.
But what you say is so true. And at the end of the day, I mean, Georgia, the team they've had, the defense is so good. They just find ways to cover up for all the other work that they have on the squad there. Sorry about it, Tony. It is always a pleasure. We don't take this for granted, Stormy. We get to talk to you in studio. Thanks so much for hanging out with us, and we'll see you later today on Money Move.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you.
All right, we'll come back. Reset hour number two of a numbers game next. More NFL look ahead lines into week 15.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Looking for some action? Our friends at FirstBet have you covered. Sign up today to unlock exclusive promotions, plus watch and wager on hundreds of exciting horse races every day from across the country and around the world. Sign up at FirstBet.com. That is the number one, stbet.com. And you can use promo code VEASAN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days, up to $200. Head to FirstBet.com today. Still to come, we will talk our opening thoughts. Bills Lions, Packers Seahawks, Steelers Eagles, Kelly Bidlitz. Great game for week 15, but it was a massive college football weekend. We have to get to our man, Chris Felica, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. I'm sure, Kelly, you were awfully just enthralled listening to our off-air conversation about the Delta qualifications for a status for next year.
Two big Delta Club big shots, okay? Sorry, it was a conversation I could not be a part of. I'm just not as cool as you two, okay?
Come on. It's not like we necessarily enjoy all the travel. We're used to it. And Chris Malika joins us fresh off a BOI SLC JFK routing from after being there at the Mountain West title game. Chris, how you doing? How did the weekend end up treating you here with the zany college football happenings and the 12-team bracket officially out now?
Yeah, it worked out pretty good from a wagering standpoint. I did not get my Notre Dame to be the 5 seed bet home that I had made on Thursday that I discussed with Kelly and Gill, and I was a little surprised at some of the seedings there at Texas getting the 5. And I had my fears a couple of weeks ago that this committee wasn't necessarily doing a great job and did not instill a great deal of confidence, and I think those fears were kind of reaffirmed yesterday, not necessarily with the SMU versus Alabama versus Ole Miss versus Indiana type deal. I mean, they're all flawed teams, and I think you can make a very good case and a very likely case and a very probable case based on power ratings and projected numbers and efficiency ratings that Alabama and Ole Miss are better than SMU. But the committee kind of put themselves in a corner last week, just having SMU ranked ahead of both of those teams, where they were telling you that right now they're in. We think they're better than those teams. And they also went out and said that, yeah, we really don't want to penalize anybody for a conference championship game. So it was there for them to basically leave things as is. And they did. And that's fine. I mean, it is what it is. We're going to watch. We're going to bet. The biggest problem I had with the bracket was, how did they put this thing up? How did they rank these teams and say, okay, yeah, this is good. This is right. We got it. You got Oregon, only undefeated team in the country. Number one, you're going to put them in a bracket where they're going to have to face either Tennessee or Ohio State and then potentially beat Ohio State again. Then potentially win that game. If they win that game, you're going to play Texas in the Cotton Bowl in Dallas in the semifinal. And then if you win that game, then we're going to have you go to Atlanta and probably play Georgia for the national championship. Like, remember like in the past few, however many years, like it's been the committee when I was in the 14 system, it was, we're going to go out of our way to like not put the number one seed at a home field disadvantage. Well, they, not only did they do it once, they potentially did it twice. So that was my biggest thing. And then I guess the only other thing back to SMU was, it was clear that SMU was the last team in the field. So like the fact that they were not the 12 seed bothered me, because I mean, Clemson had to be ranked ahead of them because of winning the conference title game, and they won. But the biggest issue was if you were going to put SMU in, you wanted to have them ranked behind Clemson, they would have had to put them behind all those SEC teams. Then you couldn't put them in. So then you kind of pinned themselves into a corner.
No doubt. And Oregon, you look at some of the odds now, just on the two make markets for the title game, Oregon to make is +190 just to get there now with the path that they have. Texas is the one that it's the fascinating now case study, just from the betting perspective, Chris. You get a Texas team that just luck boxes their way into the 5 seed, and you go from 4-1 to now the co-favorites at +350. I'm sure the general betting sentiment, especially after what people saw last and how Texas had all these opportunities to put away Georgia early, couldn't do it. The missed kicks, the untimely mistakes, end up losing that game. But I can't help but wonder, as these couple of weeks go on until the playoffs start, will we kind of just forget that they are still arguably the best defense in the country, statistically showed that most of the year. And, you know, +350 odds makers are now really making you pay the tax here on getting the 5 seed. But It's funny, we went from this whole stretch of, all right, hey, Notre Dame, Penn State, those teams will be in awesome positions were they to get the 5 and are worthy of these longer price bets, to, do we feel the same way about Texas, even if the odds are shorter, when, I mean, the path is as gift of a path as you could have, being 11-point favorites, as we already know, to start things out at home against Clemson?
Yeah, I don't expect them to have much trouble with Clemson, but I think moving forward, you're right. I mean, offensively, they have some issues. You're going to be facing some very good defenses the rest of the way, and who knows if Wisner can get going. And certainly, they were unable to run the ball on Georgia. Quinn Ewers still floats some balls out there. Their defense will keep them in a game against anyone, but it's just hard to be able to like back a single team on that top half of the draw, because I mean they're all going to be basically toss up games in the two quarterfinals there, and then the semi up top there, just with how the bracket went. Like Texas is one of those. Like, I even pointed this out too. Like there's 7 at large teams in the playoff. 3 of them didn't beat a team that's currently ranked. So, like, to award Texas the 5 seed and kind of, again, look, I know you got to ding Ohio State for losing at home against Michigan, but they still had the best resume of any of those other options for the 5 seed. So I was a little surprised they went Tech. Would I be surprised if Texas were playing in the national championship game? No, I would not. Would I be surprised if they were to lose to the Oregon / Tennessee / Ohio State winner? No, because they'll beat Arizona State. You talked about like Notre Dame and Penn State. Like, I think we were all, I don't want to say we all, I was just kind of questioning how good these teams are. And these would kind of be teams that I thought might be teams that we want to play against in the college football playoff. But to have that draw now where you've got probably the three weakest teams maybe in the playoff, on Indiana, SMU, and Boise on that side of the draw, like, it really, really opens up. And again, with Carson Beck now off with Georgia and their inconsistencies this year, like, trying to figure out a way to maybe monetize that. Like, is there in those markets, like, is there a way to either play Penn State or Notre Dame to reach the semi and maybe not win it all? Because I know those markets exist, and I heard you and Kelly talking about like over-unders for total win totals. But I think Georgia's going to be hard to beat and hard to deny getting to the national title game. But I certainly would not argue with anyone that wants to say, hey, look at the body of work over the year. This is a team that managed to lose games, be in close games, nearly lost to Georgia Tech, and now they don't have Carson Beck. I totally get it. But I think where they are now, I think they're going to be hard to at least deny getting to the title game.
Oh, let's go Georgia. I forgot I bet him a few months ago. So let's go Dogs. Let's go Dogs. Chris, those
better price then.
Yeah, I did. A slightly better price. I think plus +650. So I like it. We've had the opening round numbers out. Anything jump out to you as a bet in these first wave of games that we're going to
get? Yeah. I bet two things, and I think the numbers are still there. Maybe you lost a half a point on Indiana Notre Dame. I played under 51.5. I think 51. Still available, so that's fine. Look, we saw Indiana against the only two teams with the defense worth anything all year long, Michigan and Ohio State, absolutely manhandled, and they struggled to run the ball on either team at 150 yards in the game against Ohio State. Now you're going to go to Notre Dame, who's a defensive-minded team, and they're going to be looking to kind of run the ball with love and control the clock and keep IU off the field. So I played under 51 in Notre Dame. And I played under 47.5 with Tennessee, Ohio State. I'm pretty sure that number is still out there in places. Like, the Ohio State offensive line is a big issue, certainly going against the Tennessee defensive line with Pierce. That's certainly the strength of the Vols team. And I think going on the road, I would expect Tennessee to struggle with Ohio State. That pass rush, we saw Tennessee go on the road in Georgia really struggle to move the ball for much of the game, struggle to move the ball at Arkansas. The game against Vandy in Nashville was really the only time they've gone on the road and actually looked good offensively. But I think they're going to give Ohio State's offense some problems, and I think the flip is very, very likely. I'd be stunned if either team got to 30 here, and me might not even be in a game here where both teams get to 20. So I played under 47.5.
Yeah, Fox's Chris Felica with us right now on a numbers game from the Bear Bets pod as well. Follow him at Chris Felica. Before we let you go, Chris, is of these four dogs, you have a very good sense in general for what ends up kind of being like that public square dog side that everybody mm-hmm. talks themselves into. I mean, I think our first glance, we probably think Tennessee simply because so much negative sentiment on Ohio State. Do you feel the same way on that of the four?
Yeah, I think it's probably right just because the SEC – and they do have a good quality win over Alabama. The defense will travel, and the last impression that we saw is certainly not a very positive one from what we saw from Will Howard and that Ohio State offense and that offensive line. So I think Tennessee probably will be that public dog. It was funny, Will Hill asked me last night on the Show to Bet More podcast, like, which one did I think had the best chance of pulling upset? It's probably SMU, just because they do have some pieces on offense to move the ball, and we saw Oregon with a similar type of offense. Kind of spread dual threat quarterback. We saw Oregon really gash them and were unable to stop them. So SMU might be the one I'd take a shot on the money line.
As an 8.5 point dog right now going to Penn State. Chris, always a pleasure catching up with you, sir. We'll talk with you again soon. Thanks as always.
Great. Take care, Ben.
All right, we have one more segment still to get to. We thank Chris Felica for joining us on our Progressive Guest Line. Major NFL matchups. Get to our G-Bank best bets as well on the other side as we wrap up the Monday edition of A Numbers Game.